The Utah Jazz go to the wire with the Houston Rockets. James Harden shows all of his MVP skills. The Jazz show a lot of great things as well. We'll talk about it coming up on Postcast here in Houston. Postcast is brought to you by The Store, 6200 South, 20th East. We're going home tomorrow.
Yes.
I might stop by, particularly if I go to Snowbird or Alta or Solitude.
I'll be stopping by this week as well.
What are you getting?
I don't know. It's groceries. How about that?
That's good. Yeah. If you go sneak around a little back, you can look in the back and you can see them making all the salsa and pico de gallo.
Well,
and all
I'll
stuff.
Go to the pastry shop first, usually.
Oh, get the mudslide
cakes,
cookie.
Cakes. And
Cake the floors.
Okay. Awfully good stuff.
All right. That's our happy sweet talk for the day. So let's go. We'll dig into Harden in a second. Let's go big picture from my standpoint. And I know the Jazz are 14-17 now on the season. They're three games below 500, and they're the Warriors coming to town. And then after that, they go to Portland, and then they got the Thunder on a back-to-back. And then, I mean, like, it's brutal. There have been times, frankly, Orlando was one of them, at times where you watch this team, and I think you wondered a little bit of whether or not they were still had it. I thought tonight they had it. Like, they did go 17 straight shots missing. There's still some problems. But they were... They executed a defensive plan that Quinn put together, and they executed. They were great tonight in so many regards.
Yeah, Quinn and Alec Jensen, right? That was his game. I mean, it was perfect, I thought. You know, if it wasn't for James Harden's, 47 points. I was surprised. I really didn't think once the Jazz missed those 17 straight shots, I didn't think they had it in them to come back against this team. But the offense started to click. The defense was still in place. And forced D'Antoni to play James Harden 40 minutes. Did not lead the ball game in that second half.
I mean, the Rockets needed and wanted this game, Jazz having beat them twice already. On the Harden front, and then we'll talk about all the things the Jazz did well, I thought the Jazz defensive game plan on Harden was incredible, and he scored 47 points. Like, I don't even know how he scored 47 points, because I know what the Jazz were trying to do, and it worked. The Rockets have so very little else. But he scored 47 points. He went to the line a ton, but he just, I mean, I guess that's what an MVP is.
Well, when a guy like that gets on a roll, as good as he is, I mean, he could score 20, 23 points a ball game easy. But when he gets on a roll like this, then it's not anything you can do with that. He's just that good. I mean, he's talented. He has an array of shots that just
talking
can't
about
defend
James Harden.
Yes.
We are. What do you think of James Harden tonight?
One-man wrecking machine, basically, is how I can describe him. I didn't think the Jazz made some mistakes based on how they were supposed to guard him. But when they sent him right, they were usually successful. But James Harden is just so good at getting where he wants to go.
What jumped out to me, and I was saying this to Ron, actually we were just talking to Matt Bullard, the Jazz didn't make a lot of mistakes, but every mistake they made, he absolutely killed them. Like, Dante came in and didn't execute for the first two possessions. Jay Crowder one moment didn't, like, because he got on a switch. And when that happened, James Harden just knows it and just killed him on it.
Yeah, he definitely took advantage of it. And, listen, I think the good part is that the Jazz were back in it. You know, I don't think that they played uphill too much. They came back from, 18-point deficit and then a 10-point deficit. And did some really good things, but I thought the biggest issue was in the second quarter, finding some offense.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. Maybe even the first half itself. And David and I were discussing, Big T, that in the first half of Orlando and the first half of this ball game here, 22 of 88 there from the field. Their offense has really, really been struggling here, especially when they make substitutions.
So what's happening there, guys? Because that's happened. That really cost them the Orlando game and this game, if we really get into it. The defense was great in both games, and in both games they went tremendous stretches late first quarter into the second quarter where they didn't score.
Well, before I let Big T get into this, I told you what I thought. I think that we don't need five subs on the floor at the same time. I think there should be a couple of starters out there. Donovan and Rudy maybe shouldn't be off the floor at the same time. You just have to figure out a way to do that and keep key guys out there on the floor, because when you got five non-starters out there on the floor and you're starting to struggle, awfully hard to come back off of.
I think, you know, we talk a lot about defense. But in this Jazz, in the Jazz's system, you need a lot of guys to be successful on the offensive end. You can't rely on Donovan to be a second half scorer and get you back in it on the offensive end. You know, I always look at Joe Ingles as a primary scorer. So
he's now been in single digits for the last five games.
And so the Jazz struggle. He struggles. Go ahead.
Two for six. Six assists. And one for four.
He's now, I think, five of his last 21 from three. And the strange thing about that is, whenever Joe usually has had shooting slumps, it's because he had to guard LeBron one night and Harden the next at 34, 35 minutes. He, since the Korver trade, they've got his minutes down to 26, 27, 28. This is usually when Joe, at that type of workload, is shooting 44% from three.
Yeah, and Joe's doing a lot more now. I mean, I think you look a couple of years ago where he was getting more threes on the ball movement, but now he's being asked to kind of be a point guard at times. Drive the ball to the basket, try to create something. And you just need that kind of scoring from him. And now with Kyle on the team, you need those two guys to be able to at least combine to have a nice night.
I don't want to pinpoint any person. I just want to point out about this, more about the second unit than I'm trying to pinpoint. But we keep talking about this as like the same team as last year. It's not. Like that second unit last year, Donovan was running that second unit. Dante wasn't playing. Jonas Jerebko, who was our best three-point shooter on the roster last year, was playing those minutes that Tabo Sefolosha playing. Tabo's played about 36 straight minutes without scoring. Like those are – that, and Dante's got – we got to let Dante play, it seems, and let him try to develop. But Dante's got his weaknesses that are pretty significant also. So it's not the, like we keep trying to call this the same team. It's not the same team. That second unit last year was Donovan running the point.
No, but
out of necessity.
It is the same system. It's not the same team, but it's the same system that the Jazz have to figure out a way. Listen, we've seen a lot of games where the Jazz get their looks. They get good looks.
Number one in the league in looks.
Yeah. But you, if you can't capitalize on them, as good as your defense might be, it's tough in today's high-volume scoring league.
One of the, by the way, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I could probably figure out. I think this might be the best defense performance, one of the two or three best defense performances against the Rockets all year. I mean, they were really, really great defensively. And it took a superhuman performance to beat them.
Well, D'Antoni smelled it. I mean, he figured it out that Harden had to be on the floor tonight in order for them to win. And he kept him there. Put the ball in his hands as well.
I'm going to go big picture item here for a second. Just knowing the two things that I know. One, I know the Jazz game plan tonight. And two, I know that D'Antoni didn't take Harden off the floor. Like, Rocket fans should be really worried about that. Because if you know the Jazz, watch the Jazz game plan tonight and the way they were doing things, and the fact that Mike D'Antoni wouldn't take Harden off the floor, that means that the key component of the Houston Rockets last year is not what a key component of the Houston Rockets was last year. And they don't have anyone else to land the plane other than James Harden this year.
Yeah.
And that's,
great point.
That's a big issue.
It is.
All right, that wraps us up. Thank you to Thurl for stopping by. We love that.
Yeah.
That is Postcast.
Hey, Big T.
Checks the same.
Pays the same.
Yeah.
Hey, why are you complaining about the pay?
No, I said for him.
You know what, Thurl? I'll get you something.
No, he won't.
Good, baby.
All right, that is Postcast.
Nothing left.